there's so much potential with the streamlining of the government and this idea that the US is kind of like a broken company with a bad balance sheet and a bad income statement. If Elon fixes it, that effects of America being a loser and declining in value to go to like back to growth and efficiency is going to be like a massive pivot that is financial momentum that hits every country in a good way if the US turns around.
But the thing I'm looking at to see if this is actually happening is at the speed at which the Trump and his administration can execute against their policy. So what I'm seeing so far is very encouraging. Like, the dude's not even in office and he's already trying to make peace deals in Ukraine, and Hamas is running away from countries now. Like, Qatar's like, yo, get the fuck out, right?
I'm worried about like assassinations and like safety, because like that's what happened with JFK, or we've literally got every big powerful person pissed off right now. Like all the big pharma people, like all the big war people, like all the big media families, like all these big billionaire families are like pissed. And I think that's really scary and dangerous. And I don't know. So it's going to be like a not smooth like transition of power.
The market's fucking ripping right now. I don't know if you saw Tesla, but like it's up 10%.
It keeps going just every today. Day. Yeah. Every time I check it, it's higher and higher. I think we're up.
It's 325 right now.
Yeah.
Over a trail.
So why do you think that is?
I think the market hates uncertainty. And we've had a massive uncertainty alleviation with the election, because Elon potentially supporting the losing candidate would have been a massive headwind. Huge uncertainty with that heading into the election. Decisive Trump wins means all that's gone. Then layer two of that is all the potential, you know, Elon not getting paid his stock. That's the reason why we didn't invest in XAI. CyberCab needing FSD regulation, but the government hating him. So them stopping it even with the good safety data. All these things have been gone. And so now it feels like it's not even about what's going to help Tesla or Elon. It's about what's not in his way and the uncertainty being gone. And I feel like I'm more bullish than I've ever been. And I'm like, I've been loving that I've been buying Airbnb stock, but I'm like, God, why did I not just always buy Tesla stock? I'm such an idiot. Like, I mean, I haven't sold any of my Tesla. It's most of my portfolio still, but like even the little amount of money I've put into other stuff, I'm like, every time I'm like, God. No one's like Elon and no one's like Tesla. And
are you surprised by the reaction at all? Like, so let me get your thoughts on this. Like, what did you think of the election outcome? And are you surprised by the move?
If you asked me 3 months ago, I would have been very surprised. But like in the coming weeks, I feel like the momentum was building. And I think that's another thing that's playing out right now, is that this is in motion. This sort of political movement that Elon Musk started, and it's been having momentum for the past, you know, few years with free speech and X, but it feels like it's in motion now. And the winning of the election kind of catapulted it to a new level. I don't know. I think it kind of feels like the start of a new era for America. I don't know. And I'm even hearing a lot of the people that voted for Kamala are secretly really excited, but can't say it because that would be taboo. But, yeah.
Have you encountered those people like in real life? Like they.
Yeah. Or, like friends of friends.
Tell me more about that.
Like bros. Cause it's like, if you're a bro in Seattle, you can't be like, oh, I voted for Trump. Like I can't say that. I had to lie to my sister and tell her I voted for Kamala. Otherwise she wouldn't pick me up from the airport.
No
and
way.
And I was like, bro, like that seems kind of like anti-free speech or anti-ideas. Like I'm literally not allowed to say anything or have any other idea. Like, so it's pretty
so there's
crazy,
a legit
but...
social press. There's a legitimate social pressure that you cannot be pro-Trump in Seattle. Is that a fair statement?
And that everyone will like say out loud, Trump is a horrible person. Elon is the worst person on earth. You're a horrible person for supporting them. Like that happens like constantly. But now there's a pendulum where like people start to speak up in those conversations and they're like, actually, I kind of thought the robots were cool. And so I feel like the pendulum has started to swing. But that's a reason why, to be honest, I'm about to get out of Seattle. Like I'm in my Model Y right now. Shout out Tesla. And I'm about to drive to LA and get out of Seattle because it's such a negative vibe. When I'm like, I feel the positivity in other parts of the country is like infectious and kind of very exciting, that and like an exciting kind of era and energy I haven't felt since I've been alive, really.
Wow. You know, it's really, wow. I mean, what's interesting about what you just said is that I feel like if you look at the underlying data and the underlying signal behind what has been happening for the last few months, it was showing up in the data. You know, like party affiliation was, like, the Democrats were hemorrhaging party affiliation. A lot of people were unhappy, like a tremendous amount of people were unhappy with Democrat policies around the economy and immigration, you know? And, like, and we saw it, like, the election was the ultimate signal. If you look at, like, really blue states like New York, for example, and you look at their delta in votes from 2020 to 2024, there's been a massive shift to the right, like a massive shift away from the Democrat Party. And it's very interesting seeing this materialize now in real life, especially, like, I really appreciate you being transparent about that, because that's been my gut feel has been that people secretly do like what is happening. They secretly do respect and admire your Elon Musks and whatever, but societal pressures have made it almost illegal, you know, almost like to the point where you will be ostracized from society if you dare speak up in favor of those people, right? But now, like, the vibe shift is real. Even in very liberal places like Seattle, it sounds like, right, that there's very much a vibe shift. And how is that not an incredibly positive development for a company like Tesla?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I'm fired up, and I'm curious to know what you both are seeing and what you're thinking about.
Yeah.
Where you're located.
Hans, you want to hit this one?
Before we do that, I just wanted to bring this up real quick to show people what you're talking about. So this is New York. I was actually looking at the same data for California and Washington and Oregon a second ago, but they are still, so this is on Bloomberg, and they only show these shift totals after at least 95% of the vote has been counted in each county. And unfortunately, the West Coast is still too slow. They have not reported 95% in most counties. So we can't see this data, but I would assume we're going to see something very similar to this, even in blue New York. Like, look at Manhattan.
Can you scroll up a little bit, Hans, so people can see the legend at the top? There's a little legend with the cones. Mm. Yeah. So you want to kind of walk through them, what the cones mean and the color?
Yeah. Okay. So we'll start here. This is the vote share in the state of New York. And you see that, you know, by geography, most of the state leans to the right. But then where all the people live in the big cities, well, those places typically go to the left. Here you can see the size of the lead in different areas. But like all the people in New York, you know, they live right down here. So, of course, the state overall ends up being pretty significantly left in terms of population. But this shifts tab here, this is interesting because this is the percentage change from 2020. And so we can see in places like, so I think probably Manhattan was pretty much maybe no change because I don't know if I see a cone that is actually for Manhattan. I'm having a hard time. There we go. Richmond County. That's not Manhattan, right, Gally?
No.
Yeah, not so sure. That's outside. So this would be more of a suburban area probably, and we're talking about a 16-point shift in favor of Donald Trump compared to, so this, I guess that means this was before just under 50% Donald Trump in 2020, and now it's almost 65% Donald Trump. And you see this kind of all over the state in, you know, anywhere that's not urban, but like the fact that you didn't see any change towards Kamala in the urban, like you don't see blue anywhere except this one little county up here. So that means everywhere the Democrats did exactly the same as 2020 or lost ground in every single county, pretty much in the whole state of New York. And so I'm very curious to see what this looks like in California, Oregon, and Washington once that data comes in.
Yeah. And then as far as what you've seen from your end, like the sort of the vibe shift or what Galley posited, like what are you seeing?
Well, for me, you know, I cut legacy media out of my life like 10 or 15 years ago. Like I've never been a watcher of Fox or CNBC or MSNBC or CNN or any of these things. So I've kind of existed outside that world and just absorbed things through other people in their interactions. And then being on X the last couple of years, like X is my bubble. And seeing on X, like it sure seemed like a lot of people, and not just a lot of people, but a lot of powerful and influential people. Like I spend a lot of time following some of the big VCs in Silicon Valley, and there's only, you know, two major figures left, those two being Vinod Khosla and Reid Hoffman, who didn't have a significant, either at least opening their mind to the possibility of a Trump presidency or outright support. Like so much of the Valley has just shifted to the right in a major way. And that I felt like was huge signal.
Yeah. I think what Galley said earlier about the positivity that he's sort of seeing out there that maybe Seattle doesn't have at the moment from this victory, I'm seeing that in spades. I feel it. You know, when I talk to friends and family and the people around here, you know, Texas is like, I live in the Austin area. You know, Austin, they call it the blueberry and the tomato soup, right? Because it's like, you know, it's a super liberal city and a very red state. But I live in
the tomato soup, so everyone around here is.
And I technically live too, because I'm like more on the outside of the suburbs of Austin, and you know, it's a little bit more tomato-y. But if I bring up that even in a liberal city like Austin, what I've seen, like in the data, and let me pull it up here. So Texas, share my screen, and sort of like this goes again. We're seeing this in the data. Let me know if you can see my screen, y'all. Yeah, perfect. Shift from 2020, right? Look, same exact thing. Even in Austin, liberal Austin, right? Travis County, which is where Austin is, 5-point shift towards Trump, right? So even in a very liberal city, people are voting for those kinds of policies, right? And it's in the data. It's in the data and it's in the air.
Look at the border counties.
Oh,
those,
yeah.
Texas border counties are the biggest shifts towards Trump in the whole country.
25 There's... points Webb County, 21 points, 28 points. So Zapata County, 17-point shift, 20-point shift, 20-point shift, 19-point shift, 25-point shift, 21.
These are counties that mostly voted for Joe Biden,
Kamala,
in 2020.
Yeah, Biden.
And now they voted for Trump.
Overwhelmingly, yeah, because of the immigration crisis we had, which was something that the media landscape did an awful job covering during the last 4 years. So yeah, I mean, I think all of this is to say that the positivity that you feel, Galley, I see in the data, and I feel it in the air, and I think the next 4 years are going to be a very positive thing for. Not just for Tesla, but for the entire economy, you know? And so like where my head goes is like, okay, what are the developments going to be like for self-driving vehicles and the regulations? What are the regulations and developments going to be like for humanoid robots, right? For the onshoring of electric vehicles, the onshoring of the manufacturing of the supply chain for electric vehicles, the rules and tariffs against Chinese companies, right? And being sort of this America first kind of platform that Trump has been talking about since he's been running for president, that's trying to really make it to incentivize companies to come to America. And what does that do for job creation and individual wealth? You know, if Elon gets his way with the government and he's able to Twitter it and he's able to get rid of 80% of federal employees, let's say, and the government becomes 10 times more responsive and more effective and more efficient. And now that Congress and the Supreme Court are more right-leaning versus the last few years, which gives Trump, he has a mandate, right, to get his platform done, which is very pro-business. What does that mean for the stock market in general, right? I feel like there's so many tailwinds that have stacked up on each other. In addition to like Tesla specifically, they're about to release their more affordable vehicle. They're about to come out with unsupervised self-driving. They're about to start building the bot for in-house use cases. And the fact that the bot is a B2B platform is not going to need nearly as much regulation for it to be effective. And the fact that you can use teleoperation, you don't even need a fully developed AI brain for it to be effective. What does that mean for getting stuff built and done in the United States, right? There's so many tailwinds that have stacked up, like, and it all kind of suddenly happened with the election.
Can I ask you guys yeah. a quick question before we talk about all those super exciting potential tailwinds? I would just love to hear both of you handicap whether or not you think that Trump will deliver on allowing people like RFK Jr. and Elon Musk the ability to really pursue enacting policies around government efficiency or health that he supported in the election, but like those things may not actually be delivered on. I'm curious to hear what y'all think on that one.
You want to go first, Gav?
Yeah, I mean, it's super, there's so much potential with the streamlining of the government and this idea that the U.S. is kind of like a broken company with a bad balance sheet and a bad income statement. And if Elon fixes it, like there's so that effects of America being a loser and declining in value to go to like back to growth and efficiency is going to be like a massive pivot that is financial momentum that hits every country in a good way if the U.S. turns around. So it's going to be, but there could be like a bunch of headwinds to A, getting that to happen. Because if you're going to talk about firing 80% of people, that could be like a million people that work for the government that would be let go somehow, or they need to figure that out. And I don't know. And like what you said, Hans, what's the degree of like, I feel like every president's always big on promises. And then it's like, all right, well, what really happens?
For sure.
So I'm personally not an expert there and think it's a toss up. But my gut instinct is like, this does seem different. Like, and if you listen to Trump on Rogan, what I took away from it was a lot of learnings about like how to run a government. And he was really thoughtful about mistakes he made and what he wants to correct and how he wants to appoint the right people and give them the right like autonomy. And I just think that was kind of a refreshing thing. So if I've never heard of a candidate talk on a 3-hour podcast so openly about what it's like to be president and all that kind of stuff. And so part of me thinks this time is different and Trump, it does genuinely want to work with, like, I think he does respect Elon and want to work with him and like wants his ideas. Like he's already like, you hear rumors that he's on the call with like Zelensky, you know, like Trump calls them, Elon's on the call. So it's like, if that's the level of involvement that's happening, it's going to be crazy. But I also think Elon wouldn't mind hurting his own companies in the short term as well as everyone.
100%.
So I don't think it's going to be as rosy as everyone's making it out to be in a straight line up, but I don't know. I also just think the tailwinds are so real. Like there's just so much momentum. And
yeah. I think that's really good commentary. The way I view it is there's two different sets of signals I'm looking for. And one of them has already passed. I think for all his flaws, Elon joining the Trump train and being given as much influence as he has, you know, and this is a discussion that needs to continue happening, because at some point, if this train keeps going, you're going to have a tremendous amount of power coalescing around one individual in Elon. And I think ensuring that the public is vigilant of behavior that is perhaps bad for society. It's going to be very important for people to
duplicitous.
Be very...
Duplicitous?
Yeah, duplicitous. Yeah, thank you very much. You're so smart with the words. It's going to be very important to be honest about what is happening, right? And being transparent and calling out things that are not going in the direction that it should be. Because there is a mandate, and Trump has literally the best case scenario to execute against that mandate. He has a crew of all-stars. He has Congress on his side. He has the Supreme Court on his side. He has the country on his side, right? So there's no excuses. There is no excuses. You have to get this done. And if you don't get it done, the public needs to be like, you're failing. And they need to hold Trump accountable. They need to hold Elon accountable. They need to hold RFK accountable. But if you look at, like, let's say Elon as Signal, what does Elon do extremely well? Execute. He knows how to execute. That's why Tesla is now above $1 trillion. The market's helping, obviously, these days. But they are far and away the best value for money product on the road right now, like by a lot, right? SpaceX, don't even have to bring it up. Neuralink, don't even have to bring it up, okay? So if he can, if he has partnered with Trump, by default, if Elon is allowed to do what he needs to do within the bounds of the law, right? We need to make sure that all the things he's doing are actually legal, right? Then in theory, we'll get some of the best, if not the best results the United States has ever seen from a government execution perspective, right? So that's one thing I'm looking at. But the second Definitely. Thing I'm looking at to see if this is actually happening is at the speed at which the Trump administration can execute against their policy. So what I'm seeing so far is very encouraging. Like there's already, like the dude's not even in office and he's already trying to make peace deals in Ukraine, and Hamas is like running away from countries now. Like Qatar is like, yo, get the fuck out. Right? Like there's yeah. shit already happening. And it hasn't even been 3 days.
yeah.
You know?
And look at financial markets. Like that's what I was trying to tell my mom. It's like, okay, like everyone's like debating about how this is going to ruin everything. It's like your retirement's booming today. Like you, my mom, who like worked her butt off for her savings. And now you got like, you're up huge today in the past 3 days. Cause obviously she owns Tesla stock. So like, yeah. And it's just like, that makes me so happy. So I'm like, I don't know, like the financial, like the truth is kind of like playing out and it's like, this is great for the economy. Like we're literally already seeing the benefits today. And that's like why. And it's so funny that like you look back on it and you're like, just the idea that we were stopping people like Elon Musk from creating so much value for our country and citizens just with like regulation and BS. And all we had to do was like get out of his way. And like his, like the value of SpaceX just doubled overnight, but it's not publicly traded. So no one knows that. The value of Neuralink just 10x'd overnight because nobody's like going to get in the way of all their trials with some like woke BS. Like it's just like, yeah, like there's been the amount of value in retrospect, it seems like we were in a dark age. And you think about all these like opportunities where America was like, we're building the highways, you know, or like we're doing this. Like Trump was talking about the new birthday party for America at 250. Like that's sick. Like just kind of these big ambitious projects. And like Farzad was saying, like all these like opportunities have lined up. So there's a chance to make a big change, especially with the public sentiment on the side too. So like, what do we want to get into? Like more clean energy infrastructure, like more, I don't know. I think it's first about clearing costs, then about reinvesting. Like we spend $1 trillion on education, like, but we're also closing my public elementary school, like down the block in Seattle, which has so much money, the Seattle Public School District, I'm beefing with them. But that's just one example of how mega bureaucracy and mega resources from the people are flowing into these things like education, which suck. We're having horrible education numbers. And we're being like spending so much money on it. And then we're even literally closing schools. So it's like, that's just one microcosm of what's been happening across the government totally. So I feel like there's such a low bar in some ways for like when you're saying to hold Elon accountable, there's a very low bar because when you to start chopping, I'm personally the biggest concern I have is they're that's too disruptive. Is they're too disruptive too quickly? Like I'm worried about like assassinations and like safety. Because like that's what happened with JFK or I don't know. And it's just like, yeah, you, like Elon being like all the warmongering, like people are going to be screwed. It's like, okay, like we've literally got every big powerful person pissed off right now. Like all the big pharma people, like all the big war people, like all the big media families, like all these big billionaire families are like pissed. And I think that's really scary and dangerous. And I don't know. So it's going to be like a not smooth, like transition of power. It almost has felt a little too smooth. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Like Trump won and then everything's too perfect. And it's like, wait, like, why is Kamala so quiet? Like, what are they cooking up? I don't know. I've just seen so much that I'm just like, anyway, I went on a rant there, but yeah, tap in.
I love that. No, I love that because I think that's a much more realistic and much more grounded way of approaching this change. Let me give you an alternative. Let me give you like a hopium alternative, like the super incredibly optimistic viewpoint from my end, which is unrealistic, but I'm curious to hear your take. So I moved to the United States in 99, okay, from Spain, as legal immigrants, FYI, okay? We came here, my dad got a visa, and then he was able to move us to the States like a few days before his visa ran out because he was able to find work like on the last week or last couple of days or whatever it was. 99. And then 2 years later, it was 9/11. Okay. And then 7 years later, it was the Great Recession. All right. And then a few years later, we're finally recovered. Okay. And then on 2016, Hitler got elected. And then in 2020, COVID. Okay. So ever since I've been in the United States, it's felt like roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, just things keep happening to keep morale down either on purpose or by accident, or it's just the times, right? It's since 9/11 for me, it's been difficult for me to grasp why I should be optimistic about the path of the United States, because I felt like the government was not responsive to the people. And anytime there was any sort of hope, it got dashed away because a politician painted a picture, but it turns out that they don't really execute. They just want to get elected to get power. And now it's definitely different because these guys are not politicians. These are not, they're actually builders where the country said, yes, please go get in there. Right. And so this could be me being naive. This could be me being too young to have experience. But I think the sudden shift, like even though it feels sudden and too smooth, my argument would be is that it's a response to the last 22 years of and 23 years of depression. Like how much of a lid have we put on the United States in the last 23 years? Like legitimately.
I mean, I think it goes back a lot further than 23 years. This is the thing that Peter Thiel talks about, that basically since the 1970s, the only area of progress was the realm of bits, and that the real world has just been in absolute stagnation. And I think the last 20 years has been the tail end of that. But yeah, this is something that is a real problem that we have got to fix.
Well, one thing I thought was so interesting and why we dodged a bullet with Kamala is that she is $20 million in debt in her campaign. So what I thought is so interesting about that, it's like, okay, money in politics. How does this work? What does that mean? She's desperate for donors. So all of a sudden she has to make, if she was going to get in power, the first thing she would have had to do, her like team, is they're in debt, scrambling for money, and they have to take money from all these corporations and whoever, and now they have to start making laws for them. So it would have just... And then you realize how that machine works. But then Trump's actually putting up his own money to put in the people who have no affiliation. They're not trying to make back these millions they overspent on some dumb campaign thing. Like, I don't know. That just freaked me out when I realized the financial incentives of like, Kamala's broke. Like, she needs a job. She's like literally an actor without a job.
Gally, so, is that she outraised Trump by 3 times and she still had to take out debt.
Yeah, and exactly. And so it's like, that's who we had who was going to be in control of our fiscal situation, which is already a nightmare. And she was going to have to be in a bunch more debt of corporations this from the second she got in office because her campaign ran a deficit. Like, I don't know. It just seemed like it's exactly the kind of once you think about how scary it is that like how much the money influences the system with in terms of like corporations being able to lobby and that being like the new way that laws get passed and sort of like the direction of what politicians are working on is just always like started with this inception of who gave them money and their corporate interests. And so I don't know, I'm fired up. And then there's the whole Make America Healthy thing again, which like I saw Brian Johnson with like RFK today, like that got me so fired up. And yeah, it just seems like a like to get back to the Seattle analogy, not too much, but also just like people being negative versus people being positive. I've had to take the new adoption of, you don't have something nice to say, don't say it, because we've been saying too many mean things. And I just feel like everyone here has just been like in this negative crybaby bubble for years and years, and shitting on Elon and shitting on progress for years and years. And now everyone finally had enough of it, being told that we're like not woke enough and not this, and we're always wrong, and Elon sucks and blah, blah, blah. And we've had to shut up and listen to it. And then finally, like, the country stood up, and it's like so empowering. And it's like, yeah, you guys have been in this crying, like sad bubble for years. I'm out of it. I'm having a great life. Like, that's what I literally told my mom. I was like, I'm pumped up. Like, I'm going to live the dopest life. Like, I'm going to make so many moves. I'm going to be part of this like epic, inspiring future. Like, I hope you come with me. Like, I invested in this nerdy kind of like autistic guy who had a vision to make the world sustainable. And he was so dope and filthy as an engineer. He became the world's most powerful person. And he still follows me on X and like replies to me sometimes. And you know me, mom, like, this is sick for us. Like, what are you talking about? This is like started awesome. From the bottom. Our family's like part of this cool movement. Like what? Like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah. At some point I've had to like turn the page. Like, you know what? Like, I'm shining. Like, you know, and like, I think the country has taken that attitude of like, what can go right? Like, let's finally be happy we're America and like appreciate what we got instead of complaining about it. And yeah. I think it's dope. I think there's going to be that turn toward, like, Elon's always been the ridiculous optimist, and now it feels like the country's is too. Like, he optimism pilled America, you know?
I love the amount of, it's like the pioneering spirit that I feel like is reinvigorating things. I think that one of the things that Elon brings as an immigrant from South Africa, and you know, so many of the founder types, especially the immigrant founder types, like, they came to America because they believed in this pioneering vision of being allowed to live in a country where self-determination is a thing, and they can just like go out and build things and make the world a better place and have the freedom to do that. And so they're like all of these class of people who are like helping Americans who've lived here for, you know, like have families that have history of being here for generations and have forgotten how special that is, or who have never traveled internationally and don't have any sense for what the rest of the world looks like, feels like, behaves like, and don't understand just how special that secret sauce is. Like, having those people in this position of influence and having this giant megaphone that they have to like white pill America on how freaking awesome the future can be.
Yeah.
So cool.
It really is amazing. And I think I really do think America, like, again, as an immigrant, as somebody who came here 99, and I realized the American dream, and I was able to live the American dream. I feel like a lot of Americans do not understand how amazing this country is. And they view a Trump movement or an optimistic movement or a movement towards better economy and celebrating people that are successful as bad, because the Americans will sometimes look around and see like downtrodden people and see social injustices and see racism and see all this stuff in America, and they'll be like, how is this possible? We're the best country on earth. This can't happen here, right? And they get caught up in the wrongs that are happening in America. But what they lose sight of is that even if those wrongs happen, and there's still, like, we should get rid of those wrongs, but America is still fucking awesome. And it's awesome because people have the chance to make something of themselves through wealth and through opportunity and taking and being able to take a thing that they see in front of them and go after it. And that gets lost. And I think somehow those people have ended up on the left side of the political spectrum, because they've weaponized that empathy and they've pointed it towards progress. And they're like, no progress, no progress. We must take care of the people that are suffering injustices in the United States. And like, what they miss is like, bro, the way to fix those issues is through prosperity. You have to allow people to fulfill their destiny.
Orwellian is it that the Progressive Party is literally anti-progress?
It's insane. Sorry. Look, I got really carried away there.
No, that was awesome. There was a truck just parked next to me. That's, I was like, whoa.
You're good. You're good. You're good.
But, dude, that got me so pumped up. And I'm like, yeah. And it's like, it feels like there's never been a better time to rebuild. Like, you think about the technology that's available to us. It's like, we should be prospering. Like, we've got all these, like, crazy technologies that have been, like, the solar panels are so cheap. Like, the batteries are so cheap and work so well. Like, we've got the AI. Like, everybody's, that's the secret about AI. Everybody's got a pretty good AI. Like, ChatGPT, Grok. It's like, and they're almost free. Like, and that didn't even exist a couple years ago. And now you can, everyone has access to that who's on the internet. Like, there's all these, like, amazing tailwinds that technology's brought that we've almost, like, not really, like, benefited from that progress, especially in, like, healthcare. But I don't know. There's just so many ways. Like, and it feels like I keep thinking about how, like, the systems within America really need to change because they, as you say, we've weaponized, like, empathy against progress. And I feel like that happens so slowly, but becomes such a dangerous thing that, like, people have kind of, like, lost sight of, like another big thing, I think, I don't know, I keep talking about Seattle, but because that's where I spent a lot of time, but, like, it's really for my opinions of, like, in downtown Seattle, like, Capitol Hill, where I grew up, there's now more, like, I would call zombies than normal people, especially at night. And so it's very unsafe and you don't feel, like, good there. And it's, you know who it's especially unsafe for is women, because, like, I'm kind of safe there. Like, I grew out my beard. Like, I look sketchy. I'll wear something that's kind of dirty. Like, nobody's going to mess with me. But, let's, like, go. If I'm walking with my girlfriend, all of a sudden we're getting yelled at and, like, she feels super uncomfortable and, like, she hates Seattle. And, like, she lived there for, like, a year and just, like, hates it and never wants to live there. And that's my hometown. It sucks because it's just, like, like, literally everywhere you go, you feel unsafe. And there's more, like, zombies who don't obey the law than, like, normal abiding members of society. And it's, like, at what point do we, like, be, like, yo, like, something is seriously not working. And this is a trend, a rapidly growing trend in every liberal city. And so, like, I don't know, that has been a big, like, turning point for me, like, personally, of just, like, watching my own city decay, which I know gets overhyped. But that's one thing where I have a lot of hope is, like, the reenacting of sort of the law and upholding the law within our society and being like, look, if we're going to uphold our duty as citizens to pay taxes and follow all the rules, then you uphold your part of the bargain as a government to keep us safe and, like, enforce those laws. And so that's where I get excited of the redirecting of resources from, like, a bunch of BS stuff to to what the people want, because it's like, on one hand, we're so bloated in government. On the other hand, we're understaffed when it feels like with police and firemen where we need it. So,
yeah,
I wonder if, like, yeah, I don't know. That was kind of a side tangent, but
we have a massive misallocation of resources. We have the human capital needed. We have, God knows, we have the human capital. There's 3 million federal employees. We have the U.S. budget is $4 trillion, and somehow we overspend by $2 trillion every year, and we have a $35 trillion deficit. We have a printer that goes burr, and Mr. Jerome Powell just lowered the rates yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever it was, right? So we have every single bit of assets available to us to execute against a good future. We just have people who have no fucking idea what they're doing. That's what it really comes down to. We have the will of the people, clearly. We have the resources. We don't have the right people in place. And that's really what it comes down to. And I think, and executing in that environment requires the rational, logical thought, which has not existed, I feel like, in the government for as long as I've been in this country. And once I've become aware of how the government actually executes, we haven't had it. And any little bit of direction towards that is going to be massively positive, because we've had such a huge ceiling placed on the potential of the country through insane policies, corrupt government, people that want to do the right thing, but the system will not allow them to do the right thing. I'm extremely confident. Hans and I were talking about this a couple of days ago. I'm extremely confident that there are very good, very well-meaning people that work for government. But the system will not allow them to do what they want to do. for the country because the system is built out of corruption. It's built out of siphoning taxpayer money and giving it to special interests so that they enrich themselves and the country doesn't really benefit. They're just there as barnacles on the taxpayer, right? And then, okay, so apply the X approach on that. What's going to happen?
I mean, that's what I keep
coming
back to.
Let me go real quick.
It's like Elon's the most successful guy ever at turning stuff around. Now he's turning around the U.S. Like, sorry, I'm hyped. I'm celebrating. That's what I decided. It's like, dude, like, how is this not an obvious conclusion here? This is great news. Like,
yeah. Benjamin Franklin has a famous saying. You know, they asked him, "What kind of a government have you given us? Is it a monarchy or a democracy?" And he answered, "A republic, sir, if you can keep it." I'm sure I'm butchering the quote, but it's something to that effect. And I feel like we lost the republic a long time ago, to Farzad's point, to special interests, that a lot of the checks and balances that were put in place by our founding fathers, smart people, you know, decades or potentially even centuries ago, kind of figured out workarounds for and have essentially defeated those checks. And like, we need some of those checks and balances to be reinstituted for so that the government can once again be restored to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that is what I am extremely hopeful that Elon can spearhead. But it is a, you know, I feel like there's a huge question mark about whether, like, I think that is in the set of possible outcomes, but I definitely don't think it's the most likely outcome of the next 4 years. But the fact that it is in the set of possible outcomes and Elon is one of the players on the field, I think that increases our odds a heck of a lot.
Yeah. There was 0% chance, near 0% chance of that happening with Kamala, with the Kamala administration. Like, it was impossible. And with the Trump administration, there is a chance. However small it may be, there is a chance. And the fact that there is so much jubilation with this group, with just a chance, should tell you how far behind we are. That speaks volumes. The fact that there's a little small chance that we might actually get the thing to work the way it's supposed to. I mean, come on. Like, that really says just how far behind we are. But I mean, the market seems to be very confident that it's going to get executed on in some respects. The vibe of the country has changed. The air feels lighter. My wife made a comment when we woke up Wednesday morning after, you know, we watched Trump give a speech and it was basically settled. We only got like 3 hours of sleep that night. It was raining in Austin on Tuesday. And we woke up Wednesday morning and it was just beautiful. The sun came out. It was just perfect temperature. And my wife says, huh. Seems like the universe kind of is vibing with the Trump presidency, huh? And I'm like, wow, that's, you know. And my favorite thing about this whole thing was, you know, whenever I made we made a political sort of podcast, Hans and I, or like I made political posts on X, I would see comments like constantly, you should ask your wife how she feels about a Trump presidency. And every time I would bring it up to my wife, she'd be like, these people are fucking morons. Of course I want Trump to be the president. I want to feel safe. Like, people didn't, you know, miss it entirely. Anyway. Wow. Okay. What else do we want to hit here? Did you have anything else in mind, Gal, you want to hit before you move to LA? So are you actually moving there or are you just going there to visit? What's the vibe right now?
Well, no, I've been nomading, actually.
Oh, sick.
So yeah, I don't
know. Come to Austin, bro.
Yeah, I'm gonna come to Austin. Actually, that's my next stop after LA, either before or after Thanksgiving. So
hell yeah.
Well, definitely I will hit you up for some tacos for sure.
Yeah. If you come before, you could hit the IFT6 launch. It's on the 18th, supposedly.
Ooh, is that a rocket launch?
Yeah, the next SpaceX
Starship launch.
Oh, the next Starship launch. Is going to be on the 18th.
That's when the window opens, supposedly.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, honestly, I've been really wanting to make it to one of those, but I feel like it's just hard because it's like the days can change and it's like in this crazy weird part of Texas, like you got to commit.
yeah, for sure.
No, I mean, honestly, I just hope that what we're talking about happens and there's a smooth transition when Trump gets into power. because I think it can be a little bit rocky. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, agreed. I think staying vigilant, ensuring that stuff's getting done, being transparent and open about what's happening. And I really do think having a positive, optimistic viewpoint for the future has never been more important than now, because there is legitimate positive change that can happen. And that is so powerful. Totally. That it's so inspiring, right? For those that are willing to open their heart and their mind and actually take in the moment. You know, for those that just want to be miserable and be upset about all these opportunity, you know, how many people are going to be like distraught illogically about this presidency? And then 4 years from now, they're going to miss the boat on everything. They're going to sulk. And then 4 years from now, they're going to be like, oh, woe is me. The society is keeping me down. Like, you live in America. Go fucking take it. It's America. Yeah. Go take it. It's yours. Not that hard.
Yeah.
Just go take it.
Honestly, that's kind of been like a big takeaway from this election. It's like, damn, like, okay, like log off, go build. Like, now I know nobody's getting in my way for at least 4 years. Like, I've got big moves to make. Like, this is super exciting. So, and I feel like a lot of builders finally feel that way. And like every company I'm investing in is not just Tesla, not just SpaceX, but Airbnb, Coinbase, like all my biggest public investments that I would consider like some of our coolest, brightest minds in the world and America building amazing companies, like, are just all getting shut down at every turn by our government. And it's like, dude, wow. Like, now that all goes away. Like, that is like an amazing day. Like, I personally think we could have, like, we're going to reopen a window of American greatness. That's sort of my optimistic view on this, in that it will extend, like, what America is for at least 50 to 100 years, this shift, because I think we were in a rapid decline. And I think it was evidenced by like a lot of things, like people were moving away from the dollar. There was like global instability. Like, we had a lot of instability here at home, like a lot of divisiveness here at home. Like, we were stifling our own greatest entrepreneurs and assets and like forcing them to move away. Like, Coinbase is trying to figure out how to get out of the US. Elon's one step away from doing that if he loses. And we were going to lock him up, our biggest value creator. So I think this is such a pivotal moment where we've shifted from like a very rapid downward spiral brought back by these corporations who like wouldn't get out of government. And now we've shaken that spiral, and it's going to come back for us in 50 years once things get too good for too long. But I feel like we've shaken up that spiral, and that's like so big. And that's why I've been talking to people who like don't understand why Trump win or thinks it's such a bad thing. And it's like, it's not that like everyone hates women and that's why they voted Trump, which is, it's crazy that that's like the thing. It's like, no, it's like, I actually just think we were like, the whole country was on such a bad path and this was our only way out. And like everyone else did too. And that, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like you gotta like shake things up for positivity. Like, I'm a big fan of disruption and hyper change. And I feel like this is like the most hyper change coming to politics in like my lifetime. And we're hyper changing politics. And like, what's not to love about that? Like, that's going to be insane. And it's like, we needed to hyper change politics. Like, my favorite Joe Rogan joke is so like about how our founding fathers, if they came back today, and would be like, you didn't write any new shit. Like, you're still doing just listening to like the one or two papers that we wrote 300 years ago. And like, you invented all this stuff and you didn't even come out with anything or change them or do anything. And it's just like, dude, we're kind of idiots. Like, I don't know. Like, we need to like, there's just so much that has happened. Like, you think about like securities law and how that's written before the internet, and like everything's that's just one example, but there's so many wit and like what Elon's talking about, how ending regulations. So this is, when you really think about what's happening, hard to understate how big of a moment this is or overstate, because like, we're really gonna like a hard reset of America is what they're pitching. So if they pull that off, that has global implications, is this hard reset of America. And like we start buying Bitcoin with a strategic reserve. We start making our own energy. Like, dude, countries are not going to mess with us. And so, and I think that's what you're seeing around the globe, is like a clear American leadership and pride. And other countries are now kind of respecting that, versus like the waffling on like, I don't know. You know, like, it's hard. You don't want to comment too much on the Middle East and all that stuff, but I think the Democrats somehow managed to piss off people on both sides in some ways. And like, I don't know. And it's just things like that where it's like just not having a clear direction has kind of been costing the, like, we've been looking like a chicken with our head cut off to the rest of the world for years now, with literally Biden in decline. And then like now, I don't know, America's being taken seriously again. And it's like, that's kind of refreshing to be validated from the outside world. And it's like, it's funny because some of my Italian cousins text me and were like, this is such a, like, are you okay? Like, it's a tragic day. Like, we're worried for you guys in America. And I haven't even replied to my cousin yet because it's like, bro, like, I don't even want to deal with this, like, sob story. But it's like, bro, like, honestly, like, things are great. Like, we're pumped up and, like, the people voted. Like, it was a resounding victory, and, like, all of America is celebrating the resounding victory we just voted for is the majority of the vibe. And so I think it'll be a turning point, and Europe is behind, is what I realized. Like, the UK and all these countries in Europe are still a little bit, the mainstream media totally has got the grip on them. And they're like one election cycle behind from having their own moment. And so that's why I think it's going to be an interesting one where everyone thinks Americans are dumb and crazy when we travel again for a couple years. And then, but it's kind of dope that it's like, wait, but what's really happening? We're leading again. Not just in like using force and all this stuff, but we're leading with our votes. We're leading with democracy. We're leading with choices. We're leading with like embracing innovation and change in a good way without using like war. And I think that's like setting a tone across the globe of like, as much as people want to say Trump is like decreasing professionalism, I think it ramped up professionalism because it showed the US can have a real election. And despite way more money and corruption going for the left, the people are still going to get what they want done. And are working in our own best interests. And that's a powerful signal to send to the world that our politicians didn't send, that the American people sent. And so I think that is why people are respecting Trump and the country now, is they're saying if America goes off track, they're going to get Kamala and all these losers out, and they're going to lean into their winners like Elon Musk. And that's a genius move for America long term. And the citizens did it. And I think that's like the dope power of America. And in some ways it's like, I don't know.
The legacy West can't understand that.
Yeah. And so that's what gets me. Like, I've been more fired up and inspired about America than ever, just on the fact that, like, we can think differently and the entire media can yell at you to think one way, but you can have the fortitude and independent thought to be like, actually, like, I do care about women. That's why I'm voting for Trump, because I have a different theory that this is actually why the safety of women is going to be better. And there's going to be a lot like, and it's just like, it's, and you can't, they can't even accept that. It's like, I'm, and so I don't know. And I think I'm getting a little,
do you want to break their brains? No, you're doing this, Gally. This, that was 10 out of 10. You want to break your friend's brains with the whole woman thing. The first ever chief of staff that's ever been appointed is Trump, by Trump right now, with Susan Wiles. The first ever female chief of staff is a Trump appointee.
Yeah.
Why would somebody who hates women do that?
CEO of X, woman that Elon appointed.
Chairman of the board, woman.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I don't
know. CEO of SpaceX, woman.
Yeah. And I'm working on a very controversial stand-up bit about how everyone was lecturing me in my life to not, that there was no such thing in gender. And like, I had to switch all that up for 4 years. And then not my same family is yelling at me because I don't support women's rights.
Like,
you just spent 4 years yelling at me because I thought women's were women. And now you're like, women. It's like, well, first of all, why did you just gender half the country? I'm glad you laughed. Oh, it's Gally. Just a bit. Don't take it seriously. But
that's going to be a banger. All right. People in the comment section below, should Gally do that bit next time he does some stand up? Dude, I love it. That's awesome. That's going to hit hard. I love it, dude. Yeah, man. It's been, Yeah, I think the United States for far too long has ignored its people and is meddling too much with other people's shit. That's been the United States for way too long. And now hopefully there's going to be a hardcore reversal. We're going to stop meddling with other people's shit and we're going to focus on ourselves. Simple. That's all we got to do. Gally, you're the fucking man. I love you, bro.
This was a great team. I'm fired up.
Dude, you're such an inspiration. It's been so cool following your journey. You're always positive. You're brilliant. And you're such a huge asset to not just the Tesla community, but honestly, like, you're just a huge asset, period, because you're a great thinker. And you really are. And just keep doing your thing. Don't be afraid to speak up about anything, because your brain is very unique and the world needs your brain.
I appreciate that, Porter. Yeah. I won't. I'm going to keep speaking out. Don't worry.
Hell yeah. Let's go. And let's hear those bits. Let's go.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always great scheming. Down to scheme anytime.
Let's do it, man.
And I think we're on to an exciting era. I've been wanting to check Tesla stock this whole time, but I haven't. So,
yeah.
What are we booming still? Like, are we over a trill?
Oh,
like,
let me check.
Yeah, let's get a check.
322 up 8.71%. So down a little bit, but still. I mean,
the fact that we're in the 300s even is just still insane to me.
Yeah.
Dude, are we hitting all-time highs this year?
Yeah. I think it could
happen. Not financial advice, FYI, for people that are listening.
When you say this year, 2024 or 2025?
24.
Man, that would be crazy.
What's all-time high? What is Tesla's all-time high? 400?
412, I think. 407 closing. No, is it? Hold on. 407. We're not that far. That's, 25%? No. Yeah, 25%.
Yeah, not even 25%. It's like 20. Or no, yeah, 30.
No, yeah, 25%. So we need a 25% rise from here. We're all-time highs.
Yeah.
Wait, I also have one good question. Farzad, do you see a gazillion Cybertrucks around Austin?
Yeah, I see a lot. A lot of Cybertrucks.
I can't wait to see them when I
Yeah, dude. I see at least one every time I drive out. Two of my neighbors have one. Probably going to get mine at the beginning of the year. I went in for them to kind of like smooth out on the ramp a little bit. Having worked at Tesla, I know when to jump in. Not that the other Cybertrucks, the one thing that they're doing really well with the Cybertruck this year is like the consistent quality they're getting on Cybertruck is phenomenal. Really, really, they're doing a really good job with that. I mean, of course, you know, saw the videos with some of the early builds and stuff, and there's always going to be issues, but the execution level in Cybertruck has been like next level good.
You're missing the flex, you know, you're missing the flex points, but... So it's a trade-off. I think it's a smart trade-off, though. You know, do you need to be flexing? It's like, it was cool, though. Exactly. That's the one thing I think the trade-off. It's like, maybe the build quality's worse and it's expensive at first. But I kind of feel like that pays for itself once you're the first guy on the block for the Cybertruck. Like, all those music videos that got shot, like...
Yeah. I think all the people that got the Foundation Series early probably made a profit in some way. They definitely got their money's worth and then some.
A social capital profit?
Not even that, but like, you know, like... I was talking to one of my neighbors who bought the Cybertruck early on to like put on Turo and to sort of like advertise a business because it's such a magnet. Like the Cybertruck is like it's a rolling billboard. It still is. Yeah. Even if you see him in Austin, it's still like even to this day, it's like you see him like, what the fuck? What was that? And you're like, oh, it's a Cybertruck.
I'm trying to convince a few like startups that we're working with to like do stuff with Cybertrucks because they're super useful and they stand out and like it's so
they're viral.
They're viral.
Yeah.
But great scheming, Farzad and Hans. Really appreciate it.
Likewise, dude.
Down to scheme any other time. And yeah, go Tesla.
Where can people follow you? Where can people find you?
Hyperchange is my YouTube channel or my X account at gfilche, G-F-I-L-C-H-E. And yeah, just posting all my videos to X and YouTube. Scheming. Fired up for the future. Trying to be optimistic here. And I'll see y'all in Austin.
Hell yeah, dude. We'll see you in a bit. Go follow Galley, one of the greatest minds of our time. Let's fucking go.